Good morning. It is great to see everyone here. We are, we as a family, are so happy to be back and visiting with you all. We obviously love the family here at Frisco and always welcome the opportunity to come back. We also bring love from the family at Flower Mound Church of Christ and wanted to talk for just a minute about an upcoming series that we're going to have at Flower Mound. And we are starting next Sunday night. We are going to be having our summer series, and it will be on the topic of dynamic duos. And so we have a children's sort of VBS style classes on Wednesday nights. And it will be based on topics of superheroes of the Bible. And so for the adults, for our summer series, we'll be talking about dynamic duos. And so encourage all of you, if you have an opportunity, to come over and hear some of those sermons. 2 weeks from now, we will have an outstanding preacher from the Brotherhood preaching there. Your very own Todd will be preaching one of the sermons there in a couple of weeks. I will be preaching one in the middle of July, I think. And so I thought I would go ahead and do that lesson for you today. And so we are, again, talking about the idea of dynamic duos. And when we think about dynamic duos, when it comes to evangelism, that there's probably no duo that we might think of more as being dynamic than Paul and Barnabas. And as we read through the New Testament, we see so much about the work, the mission work, that Paul and Barnabas did. And we know that Paul was an outstanding evangelist. And really, when we think about sort of superheroes of the New Testament, and particularly superheroes of evangelism, I would say other than Christ himself, we probably put Paul at the top of that list. Well, when you have this duo here and put a couple together, a pair together in terms of evangelism, you can really think of Paul and Barnabas. And the work that they did in evangelism was really legendary. And legendary is a word that we think of when we think of superheroes, right? The acts that they perform are legendary. But what I would argue is, when it comes to superheroes, Paul and Barnabas were so much better than the superheroes that we hear about today. You know, we think about Marvel or DC Comics and these movies and the great acts that these superheroes do. But what Paul and Barnabas did was so much better. And I can think of a couple of reasons. There's many, many reasons that what they did was better. But I'm thinking of two in particular. One is that superheroes, when we think about them, typically have really great powers, right? They have superpowers. And so really, when they go into battle, when they go and fulfill their tasks as superheroes, it sort of feels like they're not really in that much danger, are they? They're not really putting themselves that much at risk. Well, we certainly know Paul and Barnabas did not encounter that kind of reception when they were doing their tasks, when they were evangelizing. We know for certain that Paul was put at great risk and was frankly almost killed many more than one time. Just look at 2 Corinthians 11 and you can see a laundry list of ways that he was in danger. Well, Barnabas was with him in many of these events. But I would say the greatest reason that Paul and Barnabas were better than superheroes is because superheroes save lives. Paul and Barnabas saved souls. So much more important, so much better, so much of a bigger deal. Because while superheroes may have kept someone from dying physically, Paul and Barnabas helped keep them from dying spiritually. And so Paul and Barnabas were really the dynamic duo when it comes to superheroes, in the sense that they were so much better in what they were doing. Now, when we study Paul and really Paul and Barnabas, what are we really typically focused on? Paul, right? We typically take that focus and put it on the work that Paul was doing, and for a good reason. In much of the time that we see Paul and Barnabas discussed, it really is focused on the things that Paul was doing. But it's not to the exclusion of Barnabas. The scripture tells us great things about what Barnabas did in those works. And so, for our purposes this morning, we're not going to set Paul aside, but we are going to focus our attention on Barnabas. And in that dynamic relationship between Paul and Barnabas and what they accomplished, we're really going to make Barnabas our focus. And so we're going to look at three aspects of what Barnabas brought to this relationship. And the first thing we're going to look at is empowerment and acceptance. Barnabas brought an empowerment to Paul that really we don't see anyone else in the scriptures bringing. What we see is, in fact, Barnabas was really the first person, not the first of anyone, right? God and Jesus truly empowered Paul. But when it came to people on earth, Barnabas was really the first one that we see empowering Paul to do his work. Now who is the dynamic duo, right? In reality, when we think about superheroes, who is the dynamic duo? It's Batman and Robin, right? When we think about that dynamic duo, we think of Bruce Wayne and we think of Dick Grayson. Bruce Wayne being Batman, Dick Grayson being Robin. And we know that Batman, Bruce Wayne as Batman, was the one that brought Dick Grayson into the fold as being a superhero and made him Robin. See, Dick Grayson was suffering. He had seen his parents die. He was alone. He was hurting. And Bruce Wayne recognized that kind of pain in himself, because we know that that's what turned Bruce Wayne into Batman. I promise this is not going to be an entire sermon about. Todd just made pretty clear in the Bible class, we have to talk about scripture, not just superheroes. But I'll get there, I promise. But Bruce Wayne had gone through the same kind of pain, and that's what turned him into Batman, right? That's what made him take on that role. Well, he saw that in Dick Grayson, and he empowered him. He brought him under his wing, no pun intended, as Batman, and turned him into this superhero. And what we really think of is turned him into his sidekick, right? And so the dynamic duo was Batman, and then he empowered this young man to become his sidekick. Well, when we think about Paul and Barnabas, what we sort of think of Paul as being the superhero and Barnabas being the sidekick, right? If we kind of put those roles into that relationship, that's kind of the way we would look at it. Because for much of the discussion, it is Paul and Barnabas. And again, there's this discussion, a great discussion of what Paul did, and Barnabas was also there. So Paul was sort of the hero, Barnabas was sort of the sidekick. But that's not how it started. See, this wasn't a situation where Paul was the superhero and he brought Barnabas into the ministry. In fact, it was quite the opposite. See, in Acts 9, verse 20, after Paul had been baptized in Damascus, and we know that he was on the road to Damascus, he saw Christ, he was told to go into Damascus, and there Ananias came, baptized him, and made him, or helped him become a Christian, and turned him into essentially this minister, this evangelist. And so in Acts 9, verse 20, it tells us, not that Paul spent a lot of time waiting and learning and fighting. No, it says there in that verse, he immediately began proclaiming Jesus to the synagogues. Well, as you can imagine, the Jews there didn't like that very much. In fact, they recognized Paul was the one that was persecuting the Christians. And they decided they wanted to kill him. And so Paul had to flee. And so Paul went to Jerusalem. Well, when he got to Jerusalem, he wasn't any more accepted there than he had been in Damascus. The problem is, in Jerusalem, the ones that weren't accepting him were his fellow Christians. It was the Christians that weren't accepting him, but it was for the same reason. See, the Jews in Damascus were saying, isn't he the one that was just persecuting Christians? And the Christians in Jerusalem were saying, isn't he the one that was just persecuting Christians? And so they were afraid of him. They wouldn't accept him. And so now go down to Acts 9, and we'll start reading in verse 26. Acts 9, starting in verse 26. It says, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So to sort of continue the superhero analogy, Paul, having to flee from Damascus, went to Jerusalem and he tried to go into the Hall of Justice. And in the Hall of Justice, the other heroes didn't want anything to do with him. He's not really a good guy. He's not really a hero. And yet, we have Barnabas saying, wait, let's look at what he did. Let's look at how he became a Christian and what he did as a result. And so it says he went to the apostles. He didn't just go and stand in front of the rest of the disciples. He went to the leaders in Jerusalem and spoke up for Paul. And then notice in verse 28, and I think this is so important, one tiny little two-letter word here at the beginning of verse 28. It says, so. And what does so mean? It means as a result, right? Because of. Well, verse 27 tells about how Barnabas spoke up for Paul. And then it says, because of that, because Barnabas went and spoke up for Paul, it says he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. See, there was a causal connection between what Barnabas did for Paul and what Paul became. Paul became accepted by the Christians there, and not only accepted, but began to speak boldly in Jerusalem because Barnabas spoke up for him. See, Barnabas accepted him when no one else would. And Barnabas empowered him to become a great preacher. So this was not Paul being Barnabas' sidekick. Barnabas this was not Barnabas being Paul's sidekick. This was Barnabas being a hero, speaking up and bringing Paul into the fold. Now, we know later that the one that really became powerful as a speaker, as a minister, was Paul, right? And he's the one that we know about. But the great thing is Barnabas wasn't worried about taking second place to Paul. He wasn't worried about, hey, this guy's going to take over my role as minister. In fact, it says that Barnabas, just two chapters later, further empowered Paul in his ministry. Barnabas recognized how great Paul could be for the further preaching of the word when it came to Antioch. And so go down to Acts 11, verses 19 through 26. It says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." And so we have these people scattering after Stephen's death, and some of them went to Antioch, and in Antioch they started preaching, and as a result of that preaching, they began converting. And so the people became strong there. And it says, starting in verse 22, "The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch." So the preaching was happening there. The people were being converted and edified. And so the church in Jerusalem realized the need to send someone to help. And they sent Barnabas. "When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." Now, in verse 24, we see the spirit of Barnabas. We see there it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So we see what a good, strong, faithful Christian he was. And we see that because of him being there, the church there was edified. So we sort of get the sense that Barnabas was enough, right? Barnabas very well could have said, "I'm enough to build this church to what it needs to be." But Barnabas recognized the need and the opportunity for something more. And so it says he went to Tarsus. Remember in chapter 9, we saw that's where Paul had to flee to, right? When he left Jerusalem, he went to Tarsus. Barnabas knew he was there, and he left Antioch, went to Tarsus, got Paul, brought him back to Antioch. And it says there that for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. So Barnabas didn't rest on his laurels at the work that he was doing in Antioch. He recognized the opportunity to build up the Christians there, but also likely to empower Paul in his work, and he brought him to Antioch to further the work there. So Paul was empowered by Barnabas. Barnabas recognized what Paul could accomplish, and he empowered him, first at Jerusalem with the Christians, and then continuing throughout his ministry. Barnabas is who we should strive to be like. Now, we should certainly always strive to be like Paul, right? But don't overlook the need to be like Barnabas. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Well, we saw that. We just talked about that in Antioch, right? But look back at Barnabas in Jerusalem. What did Barnabas risk by speaking up for Paul? The Christians there wanted nothing to do with him. And yet Barnabas put his own reputation on the line by speaking up for a man who had killed Christians. He put Paul before himself. And more importantly, put the work before himself. That is how we should be. Don't worry about what it causes to you. Don't worry about your reputation. Worry about the other person. And more importantly, worry about the work and what you can do for that person in furtherance of that work. And then the passage that that Keith read for us, Romans 15, 5 through 7, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Just as Barnabas accepted, brought in Paul, we should bring in others. But notice what it says here. More importantly, just as Christ accepted you. Because, yeah, Paul was killing Christians. But outside of Christ, are we any better? Have we not done to Christ just as bad as what Paul did? Because guess what? Paul was killing Christians. We killed Christ. We killed Christ because he died because of what we did. So accept others the way Barnabas accepted Paul. Accept others the way Christ accepted you. And so Barnabas empowered, but Barnabas also encouraged. And when we think about Barnabas, that's really what we think about, right? We think about Barnabas being the encourager. In fact, what we know is Barnabas wasn't even his name. We call him Barnabas. That's what he's called throughout the New Testament. But his name wasn't Barnabas. In fact, Acts 4:36 through 37 says, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So his name was Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas because he was an encourager. Now, wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you love it if you had a spiritual characteristic so strong that people literally changed your name and referred to you by that characteristic? I mean, I would love it if people just started calling me Son of Handsome. I mean, something else, something better. They called him Son of Encouragement because he was an encourager. In fact, the first thing we see about Barnabas, the very first thing we learn about Barnabas is that he went, he apparently had some amount of money, right? He was a landowner. And it says he sold that land, gave it to the church to help those in need. Now, that had to be encouraging to those in need, right? But also encouraging to others who had the opportunity to do for those in need. And so right from the start, we see Barnabas called an encourager, but also showing encouragement right at the beginning. And then in Acts 11:23, where we already read, it says we saw that when he, or we see that when he went to Antioch, it says he was encouraging the new Christians there to be strong, and then went to find Paul to bring them there to further encourage them. Now, part of the beauty of the relationship between Paul and Barnabas and their ministry was the complementary nature of it. How complementary their characteristics were, their talents were. Paul was a great preacher, and Barnabas was a great encourager. Now, there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that Paul was also not encouraging, right? In fact, we know he encouraged people to become Christians and to continue in that work. So not to suggest that Paul wasn't also encouraging, but we certainly know there was something special about Barnabas's ability to encourage. That is called out. That's not called out with Paul. It's called out with Barnabas. And so there was a complementary nature between Paul's ability to preach and convert and make Christians and Barnabas' ability to encourage them to continue in that faith. Acts 14, 21 through 22 says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." I think we have every reason to believe that Barnabas was a big part of the encouragement that's discussed here. It talks about here saying strengthening their souls, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Barnabas was a huge part of that encouragement. And then we see in Acts 15, also discussed in Galatians chapter 2, where going back to the issues that they were facing in Antioch, you had Judaizers that were coming in. And they were discouraging the Gentile Christians and making them feel like because they weren't following certain Jewish customs, that they were not true Christians. And so there was a need to get help and to get encouragement, and frankly, to get clarification on the requirements. And so they sent people to Jerusalem to speak to the apostles. Well, the apostles there recognized that there was a need to encourage the people in Antioch. They needed to be encouraged that what they were doing was right. And so it says, they sent Paul and Barnabas. I mean, if they needed someone to tell them the truth about what was required and to encourage them in their work, what better duo to send than Paul and Barnabas? And so in Acts 15, starting in 22, it says, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders to the brothers, who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and then send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the apostles recognized the need to encourage, and they sent Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. And just like we should be as Barnabas was, as an empowering figure, we should also be an encourager. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." In a passage we know well, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, we usually focus on this verse as go to church, right? That's what we really usually take from this passage is don't skip church. But for a moment, let's focus on the rest of that passage. "Let us consider how to stir one another up." See, we don't just come to church because we need to worship. Certainly we do, right? But coming to church, coming to worship, is an opportunity to stir one another up, to encourage one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. See, it's coming. Judgment is coming. Let us encourage one another to make it there safely. Let us encourage one another to succeed in this Christian walk. So what we see is Barnabas being an empowerer. We see him as an encourager. But we also see him in the relationship with Paul enduring hardship. And the hardship that I'm talking about here is not just the struggles they went through when it came to being persecuted, when it came to Paul being stoned. I'm talking about an interpersonal hardship that arose between Paul and Barnabas. See, according to Acts 12, verse 25, one of the other people that traveled with Paul and Barnabas was Mark, who was also called John. And Acts 13, 5 says that Mark was with them to assist in their ministry. So they had Mark there to help them in what they were doing. Now we also know from Colossians 4:10 that Mark was Barnabas' cousin. And so there was already a relationship there between Barnabas and Mark. And so they decided to take Mark with them in their journeys. But when it says in Acts 13:5 that they had Mark with them to assist them, just 8 verses later it says Mark left. Acts 13:13 says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem." So Mark, Barnabas' cousin, went with them to help them, but he sort of gave up, right? He went home. And we don't know why. It doesn't say why. We can sort of assume that maybe it became too hard. Maybe he got homesick. Who knows? But whatever the reason was, he left. He left them to do the work without him. He was there to help, and he wasn't helping because he left. And so in Acts 15, starting in verse 36, it says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with him John, called Mark." See, Barnabas, being the encourager, being the empowerer, still wanted to bring Mark along. He wanted to bring Mark back into the fold, carrying on that tradition that he had of helping those in the ministry. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Barnabas never gave up on Mark. Paul did. Paul completely gave up on him. He said, "There's no point in taking him." He gave up. He walked away. "I don't want to take him." And it says, "There arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other." They didn't just disagree about it. It was a sharp disagreement. And it was sharp enough that they separated. The dynamic duo broke up. Okay? Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles. Okay? Mark broke up the dynamic duo. He walked away. Paul walked away from him. Barnabas wouldn't give up on him. So they separated. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So there was a dispute. There was hardship in their relationship. But what I want you to notice is, just because there's a dispute doesn't mean things fell apart. The hardship, the dispute in their relationship didn't end the mission. In fact, you might argue, it doubled it. It expanded the mission. Because the indication is that Paul and Barnabas would have taken this group of men with them and moved on to one place, but because of this dispute, God used it for good. And so instead of the mission ending through hardship, it doubled. And now work was being done in two totally different places by strong men of the gospel. But we also see Barnabas doing for Mark what he had done for Paul. He built him up, he encouraged him, he empowered him. And that was good for the work. But guess who else it was good for? It was good for Mark. Yes. It was great for Mark. And what we really see is it was good for Paul. Because Paul then recognized later how useful Mark could really be. That hardship that divided the relationship between Paul and Barnabas strengthened the relationship between Paul and Mark. And so in 2 Timothy 4:11, in speaking to Timothy, Paul says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Now think about this for a second. And again, we talk about this and focus on the fact that Mark can now be useful. But think about the context here. Paul is talking about being abandoned by Demas. He was working with Demas. He was abandoned. He needed help. And who did he ask for? He asked for the one that abandoned him. Because Barnabas had worked with Mark and shown his usefulness to the ministry. And so even in trying to overcome being abandoned, he looked to the one who abandoned him because he now knew how useful he could be. And so in enduring hardship, Barnabas again empowered, encouraged, and reconciled relationships. We must also endure hardship. Just as they did in that relationship, we must endure hardship. And in doing so, we will be strengthened. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." As we endure and focus on the Scriptures, we will find hope. We will be strengthened. And we see the same thing in James 1:2-4, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So we must endure hardship so that we will be strengthened. But just as Barnabas and Paul endured hardship for the strengthening of the gospel, the work of the gospel, so must we. Philippians 1:12-14, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." See, Paul suffered hardship. Paul endured that hardship. And in so doing, not only did others, non-Christians, see that he was working for Christ. It says the whole imperial guard could see that he was working for Christ. But it also says the brotherhood was strengthened. It made them more bold to speak without fear. And so just as Barnabas and Paul endured hardship for the furtherance of the gospel, so must we. So when we look at this dynamic duo, we look at Paul and Barnabas, and we know all of these great things about Paul. And we know that we are to imitate Paul the way Paul imitates Christ, right? Paul tells us that. Let's not forget to imitate Barnabas. Because when we imitate Barnabas, we empower our brothers, we encourage them to remain strong in the faith, and we endure hardship for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if you feel like you are not fulfilling those things, if you feel like you are not achieving the kinds of things that Paul and Barnabas did, if you are not living in the way that we see them living, pray about it. Study about it. Learn about it and focus on it. you have the ability to be a son of encouragement the way Barnabas was. Now we, as a body, as we read in Hebrews, have the opportunity to encourage one another. If you need encouragement, there's a whole room full of people here and across the world that can pray for you, that can encourage you, can stand beside you, can hug you, can hold your hand as you go through those struggles. If you need those prayers, you have an opportunity to come and receive it now. But more importantly, if you haven't become a member of this body, take a hold of the hope that comes with being a child of God. Let us encourage you to turn to God, to become a Christian and walk in His path. If you need those or any other things from this congregation, we encourage you to come now while together we stand and sing.